Welcome to Trending in Education. Mike Palmer here. I'm joined today by Bruce Dahlgren, who is the CEO of Anthology, a really interesting ed tech company, one of the real key ed tech companies that's out there working in higher ed and elsewhere. Bruce, welcome to Trending in Education.
Well, thanks, Mike. It's great to be here, and I look forward to our conversation.
Absolutely. You have an interesting background. I was mentioning to you when we first were getting to know each other, I don't know if I've had someone who's really come at this from more of an IT trajectory into this leadership position and this track with Anthology. Can you catch us up on your origin story, how you got to this point in your career?
Sure. I don't think it was by chance, actually, if you believe in some of the fate, or maybe a destiny. But I've spent 4 decades in the IT world, working for some of the biggest and best global IT companies. Mm-hmm. I've had a chance to live abroad and see the development from data processing all the way to today's world with things like machine learning and artificial intelligence. And then I spent the second half of my career in software companies on the private side. Mm-hmm. And had an opportunity after all of the work we did to do the data processing, the networking, all of the applications. Now it's very exciting to be on the software side.
Right.
And just see all the capabilities now and how this is really changing the trajectory of the human race, right?
Right, right.
Also, for the last 5-6 years, I've served on a major university board and really got a chance to watch that develop from pre-COVID to the difficult COVID years.
Right.
It's now the post-COVID challenges for higher education. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a blast. I've gotten the opportunity to take the IT experience and combine it with my passion for higher education and my experiences there. It's all come together. It's been just 6 months for me now here at Anthology.
That's amazing. And it's Stetson University, correct?
That's correct. In DeLand, Florida. And we have a law school over in St. Pete as well.
The Fighting, I forget their mascots.
It's the Hatters.
But that is a really interesting intersection because Anthology, for folks who might not know it, is really working largely with higher ed to try to provide technology solutions within that space. Can you catch our listeners up a little bit on the story of Anthology?
Absolutely. You know, we use a kind of a tagline called the power of together. I really like that because even if you think of the word Anthology, it's all of this power of together.
Yeah.
And what our investors did, I think was brilliant, is they brought together the best of these software companies and brought them all together under Anthology.
Yeah.
And you might have recalled Blackboard is a good example, campus management. And so fundamentally, we're really the big player, the only one that can bring together the teaching and learning, the LMS space, combined with the ERP and all of the aspects of the student lifecycle. And then, of course, the CRM aspects.
Yeah.
You have software assets, all three. But I think what's really exciting, Mike, is what we call Illuminate. And that's this connected data layer. So we really manage this student experience from being recruited through their college experience, graduation, to being alumni and donor.
Right.
And it really gives us an advantage. I feel very fortunate to be here at Anthology.
And then it does sound like part of that advantage is that integrated holistic perspective, understanding of the learner, the student, allows you to be more personalized and leverage some of the promise of artificial intelligence really in service of learning objectives and other goals you might have. That's something we're going to get into a little bit more in a bit. But can you also, you know, spell out a little more detail around what we mean by an LMS or what we mean by some of the other parts of this ecosystem? Because the way I think of it is Anthology is like an ecosystem play. It's trying to understand more holistically how the different pieces connect. And then to your point, if you can track data across that ecosystem, you can start to reach next level insights.
No question. And it's all built up. It's kind of interesting. If you think of the university world, it lives in this shared governance, right? Mm-hmm. So equity, your administration, your board of trustees, even within that university, there are very different groupings and different decision makers, right? So you've got obviously your faculty that's very worried about the teaching and learning, the student experience. You've got your administration running the university, all of the complexities from facilities all the way through to admissions.
And,
of course, you also have your marketing aspects. and all of the CRM pieces to being able to promote that university,
right,
to being able to recruit students.
And this is, it's customer relationship management.
Yes, right.
Exactly. I try to spell out, I'm an ex-Kaplan guy. I try to spell out my acronyms when they come up. So like Salesforce in a typical enterprise sense, and this is more tailoring this specifically to the higher ed marketplace.
Correct. If you think of the traditional enterprise IT world, SAP came out with the ERP systems, right? How you bring all the financial.
And ERP is?
Efficient response. So it's basically the nuts and bolts of running a university.
Like operations kind of, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. And technology has a huge impact on that.
Right.
And then your CRM, of course, Salesforce really brought a lot of that out there. And that's this connection with the students and the marketplace.
Right.
Teaching and learning is somewhat unique, obviously. But if you look at enterprise IT, almost every company, whether you're in financial services or retail or manufacturing, they also have their unique applications.
Right. And in this case, that would be the learning management system, which is where the student and the faculty are designing the courseware, they're building tests and lessons and those kinds of things. And then students interact with that, and then they get like a learning record that's associated with them. And then capturing all that data is where you have some strategic platform advantages. And that's where some of the AI comes in. AI, both from a technical perspective, but then the white paper that we'll share in the show notes, I thought was really interesting, where Anthology just fielded a study where you were surveying both students and decision makers within higher ed around their readiness and their comfort with different aspects of artificial intelligence. And I thought maybe we could go there next, because the 600-pound gorilla in the room is artificial intelligence. It always comes up on every show. But you actually did a little bit of research into this.
Yeah, we actually decided that we would start the AI, and we're really the first player out there to bring a solution into the marketplace. But we chose to begin on the faculty side.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is if you think of it this way, the students that are now coming into the university environment, they're very digital.
Yeah.
But it isn't necessarily true of all of the faculty and the experiences at the university. Still,
it's
quite analog.
Right.
And so if we were able to go into the faculty and be able to show the professors that AI is actually a valuable tool that can give them back time, a productivity savings that then ultimately helps them spend more time with their students,
right,
we could get them to embrace AI.
Right.
Because I tell you, Michael, being around for four decades in the IT world, every new innovation comes with a dark side.
Yeah.
I mean, just think, I can remember when I was in school, and now this is going to date me, but I remember we got calculators, and it was considered cheating if you brought the calculator to the dorm.
Yeah.
And we don't think twice about that now.
Right.
But I think there is a dark side to artificial intelligence. Let's be real. There's cheating and plagiarism and original thinking, et cetera. But I really believe this is not a fad, that artificial intelligence will overcome some of these dark aspects.
Yeah.
And we thought if we could get into the faculty, if we could show them the benefits of this, it would be less threatening.
Right. And it was interesting in your white paper, the readiness of folks in higher ed to play with this stuff, to like adopt some of this technology. You know, both the two findings that I thought were interesting, one was that on the student side in higher ed, students in the U.S. are generally using the generative AI tools a little bit less, and they're probably a little more skeptical about it than folks in the rest of the world, because you did field a global study. And then on the higher ed front, there was even more almost like fear, reluctance, trepidation around adoption. It does feel like there is a bit of a crisis of trust around adopting some of this stuff. But in terms of the potential returns and the potential opportunities for faculty, and for others, really for students, all of us, if we can figure out where can we really leverage this for our own advancement, and then where do we need to be a little more on guard and kind of manage against risk.
That's correct. And actually, I found this throughout my career, that when an end user, in this case, a professor, when they actually see the benefits of the innovation, when they can actually internalize it and use it, it becomes less scary.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, right? When you're in an environment where you're building courses, you're testing students. A lot of the testing is about memorizing and all that. And then, you know, your responsibility is to evaluate that student. When all of a sudden artificial intelligence comes along and you say, well, I don't know, was that really the student or was it the computer?
Right.
Did ChatGPT generate this or did they? Our thinking on this was, let's let the faculty embrace it as a productivity tool.
Yeah.
That's September, we came out with the AI Design Assistant. What it does very simply is they can go and create a course and design a course by using AI, ChatGPT going into AI and downloading everything from pictures to information. Yeah. And actually, I took a couple, if it's okay, I was going to read you a couple quotes.
Yeah.
So these are some direct quotes. And this is a professor. I created nearly 100 quiz questions and multiple learning modules with pictures and descriptions, finishing the task in a fraction of the time.
Right.
Weather says the AI Design Assistant is incredibly intuitive and easy to use. My first draft, 20 course outlines ready in 5 minutes.
Right.
Another one says, I've heard 99.9% great things from my faculty. So here's the logic. If you can embrace this and you see it as something, then you kind of, you don't forget about the dark side. I mean, let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
There is potential for plagiarism and things like that. But now I start to see it on its merits.
Right.
And it's really worked for us. It's a lot of fun to see. I will tell you, Michael, I think where this goes right now, AI is seen as a capability to help the professor. It's seen as a benefit for the university.
Right.
But remember, the majority, okay, all of the students now coming into the experience are coming from a digital world.
Right.
All they know is mobility. So they take for granted this. So the professor not only has to embrace it, but they've got to show how AI plays out in the future for that student.
Right.
Well, if you're a business student, you want to learn AI so you can apply it when you go into your job.
Correct.
Or a healthcare, it could be music student.
Sure.
You want to understand what is AI going to mean when I go out into the workforce.
Right.
We felt that this was a good way for the faculty to embrace it, internalize it, and then start to really explore how they can help their students.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. The AI Design Assistant, it reminds me very much of what you might encounter in Adobe's Creative Suite or in Canva. A lot of these tools for makers
Absolutely.
Are now getting enhanced. And I think anyone who is a regular user of these softwares, you're seeing this integrated into your existing product set. And it is surprising to me at times that some things don't really penetrate higher ed or they don't penetrate into some of the more education verticals. K-12 is another great example where like a lot of the potential that, you know, in an enterprise context, folks just, you know, power through this stuff. I did this at Kaplan all the time. You just start using new software. Okay, we're switching and now we're using this software versus that one. Okay, just crank on it. But I think within higher ed, there's a resistance to change and a difficulty to move quickly in these spaces, which is why I'm curious how broad your adoption is and how you're sort of driving adoption and trust within a group that might be a little bit resistant at times?
Sure. I would say I've seen a spectrum. In fact, I was just in Europe visiting many universities throughout Western Europe, obviously a lot here in the US and some in Asia.
Yeah.
There's a wide spectrum. You have some universities that are just opening it up, saying this is the reality of the world. Let's let it go. And remember, what key part of the design assistant is there's always a human approval. The computer does not do the class.
Right.
The professor does the class. The computer helps them build the class. The other extreme, there are some universities that are really holding off and saying, you know, just like the calculator, you know, this is not going to come here.
Yeah.
And see a lot of in between. I wrote down just three things that we've done that I think we're very smart and I'm proud of the team and what they've done. The first, we put an AI advisory council in place. And now this set up our design assistant tool. And basically, we went out globally and we brought in some of the bright minds in higher ed and said, okay, give us your perspective and advise us on where's a good place to start and how to do this.
Hmm.
The second thing is we put Anthology Trust Center together. And what Anthology Trust Center, and it's public, you can get a copy of this and all this stuff, but it goes through fairness, reliability, how humans stay in control, transparency, privacy, security. We should talk about that some more.
Yeah.
Value alignment, how AI can help around the values of the university. And then finally, accountability.
Yeah.
I think that this Trust Center is a source for universities to go into with our experience and say, how far do I want to take this?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing that we're really proud of is the AI framework. And this is really kind of a guideline for, you know, where are these parameters and how do we manage within this space?
Yeah.
And my personal opinion is that starting with the faculty was the right place. Mm-hmm. This will then start going into administration. It'll start looking at CRM. I will tell you something interesting, Michael. You made me think of this earlier. You know, I've been in the industry for a long time. I saw early data warehousing and all that stuff. And we always said, wouldn't it be great if you could mine all of this data we collected, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's more than that now. Now the computer is mining it for us, right?
Right.
But I think one of the biggest advantages for higher ed is when we move from just structured data into unstructured data. Mm-hmm. And what do I mean by that? Well, when you can start actually mining and pulling these things into a design assistant that includes photos and videos, you know, these things that are unstructured now.
Yeah, like live interaction, engagement, things like that.
Absolutely. And audio. Because remember, the students coming into this university experience, this is what they know today.
Yeah. It's like Twitch. Come on.
It's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an interesting time for higher ed too, because higher ed is in an interesting dilemma, depending on which part of higher ed you're looking at. You know, the top schools are doing well. A lot of stuff in the middle is problematic, but then the adoption of online learning and some of those revolutions that are really just starting to get traction and the level to which folks are starting to move their curricula online within higher ed, it is a massive trend. As someone who's in this space and is developing an ecosystem, a learning ecosystem designed to deliver higher ed solutions, what are your thoughts around the current state of higher ed and the role that technology might play in its future?
Well, I mean, this is true globally, maybe a little more extreme in the United States, but enrollment is a big factor for universities today.
Yeah.
Melt statistics of people, you know, saying you're going to come to the university and then not showing up. Those things are much higher. Retention issues around students finishing their first year and coming back the second year.
Yeah.
These are all big factors. And I think a lot of it is post-COVID world now to where some of it's economics, but this is a big cost.
Yeah.
And I think that the expectations of students now is whether it's a micro degree or a longer term degree, I'm looking for an outcome.
Right.
I want to know that these 4 years or with the time I put in is going to create an outcome to make me more successful and provide a job, et cetera.
Right.
And so I think that the artificial intelligence and just the technology that we can bring helps that university elevate all of these capabilities for the student experience.
Mm-hmm.
As they know when they are out in the workforce that, let's be honest, the computer, the digital world is here to stay.
Right.
And they want that experience to also be digital.
Yeah. And that was the next place I wanted to go, where I think Anthology is in a kind of a unique position in potentially managing that handoff or facilitating the pathway to that first good job or that career on the other side, where managing higher ed, you know, and having your experience on a board is one angle. But one aspect to that is, how do you measure success? And part of how you measure success beyond just completion is completion with a pathway or with some transparency around the skills they need to be successful in their lives. I know it's something Anthology's been working on. Can you share a little more about that?
Absolutely. So the technology, if you think about it, right, for the university, this helps us track alumni, which is a great source for future jobs. It helps better understand what is required for that student to be successful out in the workforce.
Yeah.
And it helps them prepare. I mean, simple things like, think of the technology today in how you apply for a job, how you find jobs, how universities network into the marketplace. All of that is part of Anthology and our solutions. Very exciting. So we not only do the CRM part in recruiting students, managing all of the teaching and learning and helping have these courses be effective, managing that university, but we even help them in the after graduation and getting that job and being successful and then connecting back to that university down the road.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So I always like to get folks' perspective who maybe aren't so deeply ingrained in the world of education. You have a lot of experience in IT and emerging technology and other systems over the years. Is there anything about that perspective that you think would be useful for people who might be more lifers in the education space? What kind of perspective might you bring based on your experience in technology and elsewhere?
Well, I think the university is almost a microcosm of the world outside. And I can think of so many examples. Think of a consumer packaged goods company wanting to market their products to consumers. Very similar to a university wanting to set its culture and its brand and its dynamics. How about fintech financial services? You know, to a university, that university has to make loans. It has to bill the student, its accounts receivable, all of those aspects that we see in fintech and financial services business.
Yeah.
Facilities, managing, you know, just think of all the technology and making sure that the facilities are up to scale and prepared for the students and all that. By the way, the student demands, especially in facilities, very different post-COVID.
Yeah.
So you have to adapt with that, right? Mm-hmm. Real estate and all of those things.
Yeah.
There is a security and a cyber aspect.
Yeah.
And this is somewhat of the dark side of the IT world. But just think of it this way. All of that student data needs to be private.
Right.
And I'm not just talking about grades and, you know.
You're talking about PII.
For sure. I mean, think about social security numbers, credit card information.
And that's personal identification information, something like that. Yes.
And so these universities have to also think about security and compliance. It's a very regulated business.
Yes.
Regulated industry.
Yeah. Risk averse, a lot of regulation. Mm-hmm.
FedRAMP, StateRAMP certified. Yep. So these universities, there's a lot that's coming into this. I will brag about Anthology, if I may. We are at least number one or number two in a global student repository. And we even have a privacy officer. We're very focused on the security aspects. In a regulated business and an industry like this, we know the importance of all that data.
Yeah. And that's also why frequently higher ed's org structure is not every university or college has a CISO. You don't have someone whose responsibility is to think about security, think about risk, think about the IT relationship to the rest of your ecosystem. That's something that's more baked into how you roll and kind of what you're bringing to Anthology, although I think a lot of this is already there.
Yeah. You know, being in this industry for so long, I've seen the challenges of chief information officers, right? So certainly on the commercial, the enterprise side.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, a CIO in a university, tough job.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with everything from parents to students. Think of the demands from the faculty.
Right.
And then you'll have all of these requirements, government requirements.
Yeah.
Tough job. Tough job. We make it a point to help them and be a part of their journey.
Yeah. And then how about the future? What do you see on the horizon? How it relates to Anthology? But, you know, it's crazy to think we're maybe 16 months post the launch of ChatGPT, and I feel like we're still kind of scratching the surface of whatever's coming next, but I'd love to get a little bit of your perspective. I'm not going to bind you to anything you put out here, but any scenarios or any sort of perspective you might have around where this stuff may take us?
We're investing heavily in what we call Illuminate, this data lake, you know, making sure that the university is looking holistically at that student and that student experience.
Yeah.
And we know that a student is much more likely to return for the sophomore year, to stay with that university if they have a good experience.
Yep.
So we want to make sure that those systems and the things that we deploy, again, whether it's course design, whether it's the facility they're living in, we want to make sure that that student experience is successful.
Yep.
And that way they'll come back and the university will be more successful. We also really value all of the financial aspects. We know the challenges around economics, loans, et cetera. So we really want to make sure we build all that. But Michael, I'll leave you with an interesting perspective. If you look at testing and IQ, it has traditionally been around memorizing. It's been around reading something, hearing something, seeing something in a classroom, and then being able to report that in some form of test. If facts are ultimately readily available. And you could argue whether they're authentic or not.
Yeah, and figuring out what is a fact, that's a whole other episode.
Hallucinations and all this stuff. But I think Anthology can play a role in helping, making sure that that technology is focused in the right thing. Mm-hmm. And that's building that IQ, building that educational experience. And it's very possible that instead of just memorizing things, that your interpretation of those facts, your ability to communicate those facts, to understand them and use them, becomes a big growth environment and advancement in universities. Yeah. And so we've got a lot of things that we're working on to take it to the next level.
Amazing stuff here with Bruce Dahlgren, who's the CEO of Anthology. We'll include links to much of what we discussed in the show notes for the episode.
Well, Michael, it's been a great time. I appreciated all the questions.
Thanks so much for joining. Hopefully our listeners enjoyed the conversation. If you did, please subscribe, tell your friends, do all the good things. We'll be back again soon. This is Trending in Education.